Welcome back to another edition of the Hammer Lane Broadcast, podcast brought to you by Sealands Grove Ford. I'm Joe Burridge, and I am joined by Paul Gower, who is freshly back from Volusia. Paul, how was the action in Florida?
It was great. Great to, as you know, the first motor heat and hot lap session of the year. Nothing hits quite like that. It was great to be down there, see all the new cars, see all the excitement everybody had. I mean, I hate to say giddy, but everybody was kind of giddy and ready to get going. Action was good. It was good every night. Wednesday's probably the only night it was a little, not the greatest, still a lot of passing, but the track was just a little bit too good, and it was brutal cold. It was below 40, steady 30 mile an hour our wind right in your face. I mean, it was brutal. It was like you were in PA or anywhere in the Midwest this type of year, but nobody really cared. We saw some racing. It was a good deal.
Well, yeah. I mean, during the daytime, it must have been warm.
Yeah, it was. Once Wednesday was over, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it got progressively warmer. 70s. I believe Saturday it hit 80. So it was a beautiful day to wear a t-shirt during the day. Then it cooled off at night and just a hoodie and you were fine. It was almost perfect racing weather. And they had the track spot on every night. I mean, you can't complain at all with all the racing that's been going on down there. Volusia did an excellent job with the track.
Yeah, it was good stuff, I thought, all four nights. And, you know, it's dirt track racing. Sometimes, if you can get three out of the four nights that are tip top, I'm not going to complain. But Wednesday, I thought, was, you know, the track was a tad too good, but, you know, I'm not going to complain because there was still lots of action. And, you know, you had your four winners from that night. I guess you say you're not surprised, but you're like, oh wow, okay, well, you know Brad winning the first night, then gravel, and then, you know, Sunshine actually kind of surprised me on Friday, and then Sheldon, actually, I didn't see that one coming.
No, I don't think anybody did. They struggled. I don't know how many people know that were watching from home, or if it was even said on the broadcast with Dirt Vision. Sheldon actually went through three motors. Two on Thursday, I believe, and then the crash he was in that took another one out. So they had a rough week wise. So he struggled a bit, but really came back strong that last night on Saturday for the finale, and a much needed win for that team and for himself. Hopefully that builds some momentum for the NOS 17 team. It was great to see him in victory lane again, and I don't think there was anybody that wasn't happy to see him pick up a win, especially this early in the season.
Yeah, he looked good, and yeah, he earned it. He definitely earned it.
Yes.
You know, and then, you know, David Gravel picks up another big Gator award. I mean, he pretty consistent all week long, you know, which is kind of the name of the game for the two. You know, and Gio was very consistent as well, and was up front. And, you know, this is only the first weekend. I think we're going to be in for a real big treat. Like I said last episode, we're in for a big treat this season with both series. And, you know, and speaking of the High Limit series, you know, they kicked off their season at East Bay, and I know rain kind of got the best of them on the first night, but man, Larson, you know, forced to be reckoned with anytime he shows up, picks up night one. And then Tyler Courtney picks up the second night.
He looked strong second night there. He had a good few days of racing down in Florida for sure. He looked strong everywhere he was between the two tracks.
Yeah, you know, Kyle Larson doing Kyle Larson things.
No,
he got caught up in
there.
A mess.
Yeah.
You know, the 57 is always a threat to win no matter where they are. And, you know, on the feature on Tuesday, you know, there was, you know, an accident he got involved in and went to the back, and his car wasn't the same. But, you know, Tyler Courtney Justin Peck had some bad luck, but 13 car is, I think, is going to be really fun to watch as well. Corey Day was up there, and man, I mean, that was some excellent racing in East Bay. And, you know, with the World of Outlaws being off now for the time being, you know, the High Limit Series, which leads us in our topic today of our top five prediction for points for the High Limit Series with the charters on the line as well. They are going to Golden Isles here on the 22nd and the 23rd. And we're just going to get right into this right now with our top five predictions here for this upcoming inaugural full season with the High Limit Series. And Paul, who do you got at five?
Number five, this is probably going to surprise somebody, but I think I'm going with Tyler Courtney for fifth. I know a lot of people think he's going to be a championship contender. I think he's going to win races. I just think the competition he's running against this year is going to be much tougher than previous years with the All-Stars, and it's going to be a lot of different tracks that he hasn't seen. I have no doubt about him on half miles, zero doubt. On half mile tracks, he's going to be right up there, no doubt in my mind, like he was at Volusia. I just think as the season progresses and he gets to a few different places he hasn't seen before, I just see him falling to fifth in the points. I could be completely wrong. Just my thoughts there.
Yeah, it's not a bad pick at all. I just have to make it clear with our picks here that these are guesses, and
right.
You know, we could be right, we could be wrong. You know, yeah, this is not.
Don't go on FanDuel by anything we say. This is for entertainment purposes only.
Right. And, yeah. You know, and it's hard because, you know, we know a lot of these drivers and teams, and,
right.
You know, we've gotten to know them, and this is nothing personal. It's
just, no.
It's tough, and I'm sure, you know, we'll probably get a little bit of, you've got to be crazy, you're
right.
Picking him, like, what the hell, you know, but hey, you know, this is for fun, and it's a good topic to discuss.
And that's the my idea, number. To get a reaction and get conversation going about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I love talking this with fans at the track and stuff. It's neat. It's an icebreaker to meet new people at the track, sure.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, my number five actually is going to be Corey Day. And, you know, Corey Day, I mean, what more do you need to say about this young man? I think he just has an excellent foundation around him, like we discussed earlier. You know, with Jason Myers, his, you know, with his dad, you know, Ronnie, you know, Shane Bowers over there, they just got such a good foundation for Corey Day and his adaptability to short tracks, mid-sized tracks, half miles. And he is not afraid to put that thing on the wall, run the bottom, create his own groove, his own line. I think Corey Day in the fifth position would be an excellent year for the Jason Myers 14.
Good pick with Corey Day. He was fun to watch at Volusia when I saw him there, especially I believe it was Thursday night or Friday night where they had the gnarly cushion, which is right up his alley. It was a show just watching him. Really was. It was exciting, and that's an understatement.
He's fun. He is just fun to watch,
yeah.
And you know, he's going to be one to keep an eye on all year. And I would be willing to think that he is going to gain a lot of fans by the time the season is over.
Yes. Once some new eyes get on him, he's going to make a lot of new fans. There's no doubt.
Absolutely. So now we're up to number four. What do you have at four, Paul?
Number four, and I would love to see this guy finish higher. And I think if he would actually have some luck go his way, is Justin Peck. Guy is always fast, always toward the front of the field. You rarely see him have an off night. He qualifies well. He races well. It just seems like between mechanical failures and getting caught up in somebody else's mess that is of no doing of his, he comes out on the wrong end of it. However, Justin is a great driver. The boot team is a great team, the 13 team, and they're no stranger to traveling and seeing different tracks. I don't know if there's too many teams that ran more races than they have the last few years, because they show up everywhere and anywhere. It doesn't matter. They were there. But I have Justin in at number four. With some good luck, he could possibly be much higher than that.
Well, good minds think alike. I have Justin Peck at four myself. Ooh. And Justin Peck is one tough customer. I mean, that wreck he had at Bridgeport was
brutal.
Was scary. And I mean, we're lucky that he's still here with us. And right. with that cage collapsing like that, man, that's scary stuff. But he gets every ounce out of that 13 car. The boot car is, you mentioned the luck. I don't know what he did to the gods to deserve some of the luck he's gotten, you know, the past year, but he's going to have an excellent season. And again, that bad luck followed him at, you know, at East Bay, and he was up top three and boom, lap car, you know. And that's sprint car racing. You know, it happens to all of them at some point during their career. It's happened to Steve. It's happened to Sammy over the years. And, you know, but I just look for the 13 to rebound this year and be very consistent and be up there. And I would not be surprised to see him pick up a handful of wins and outlaw wins as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I can't wait to see the 13 in victory lane again. I really can't, because that whole team has earned it. They deserve a good year with good luck. I just hope that's the case for them.
Yeah, we'll definitely see. That's for sure.
Yes. Guess that brings us to three, right?
Three.
All right. Three. I have Rico. We all know Rico's going to be fast. He's going to be fast on the half miles with Ricky Warner on the wrenches. He's a short track guy, and Rico's going to set his share of quick times, and he's going to win his share of races. What more can you say about Rico? He's going to definitely be a top three car. Again, another guy, if he doesn't get in too many mishaps or have a lot of problems, he could easily be one or two. But I see Rico at the end of the year being right around third.
Wow, I wasn't expecting that.
Really?
Rico, no, I was not expecting that. I was actually expecting him to be a little higher, to be honest. You know, Rico had a hell of a year last year. Yeah. And, you know, and I think he could have had even a bigger year last year. He had some late race issues, you know, to no fault of his own, tire going flat, whether he ran over debris on the track or something like that, I don't know. But there was some late race stuff that got him, that cost him some big wins last year.
Right. And very true.
That car is always near the front, no matter where he shows up. It qualifies well. I mean, what more do you need to say about Ricky Warner? I mean, been there, done that, you know, as far as the crew chief game is concerned. So, you know, that car is going to be prepared tip top front to back. And Rico just has to, you know, hit his marks and keep her out of trouble. And, you know, the 24 car, you know, it could be podium, has the potential to be podium every time out. And, but it's sprint car racing. It's unpredictable and, you know, things happen.
I don't disagree with anything you said. The only another reason I have Rico at three instead of a little higher, I am a huge believer in Rico is one of those guys who would pick and choose where he raced. And I am a huge believer, kind of like Donnie Schatz is, when you pick and choose where you race, you're going to have better results. However, when you're on a tour that is a grind and you don't get to pick and choose your best tracks, it's a little different story. And that's the only reason. No slight against Rico or definitely not against Ricky Warner or anything on that 24. It's just a little different ball game when you're not picking and choosing when and where you race.
That's a good point. That's a valid point, to be honest, as well.
I always felt that. I'm a firm believer in that. I don't know if it's right or not, just my opinion.
No, I definitely would agree. I would agree because, you know, some of these guys can take a week off or 2 weeks off and go on vacation, come back and go back to racing. You know, it's a big difference.
Oh,
when, you know, when you have to be there week in, week out.
No matter what, you have to show up and race. It is a big difference. Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. So my number three actually is Tyler Courtney, Sunshine. You know, going back to last year with Tyler Courtney, I mean, he was lights out with the World of Outlaws and late in the year. And, you know, it's this team just seems to have a different feel about it. He's another one that seems to adapt very quick to tracks. I mean, he already has a King's Royal under his belt. Good at the fast tracks, the big tracks and the fast tracks like your Eldoras, Volusias, Knoxvilles, and, you know, running with the All-Stars, I know it was a different type of field, not an outlaw field, but he's got outlaw wins. He's got All-Star wins, and now he's got a high limit win and an outlaw win this year, and that 7BC is no joke. I look for that car to be top three the majority of the year, for sure.
Solid pick. Can't argue that. I have him a little lower, but I wouldn't surprise me. I mean, that's solid pick for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it you know, they have seemed to gel ever since they just started running. They just seem to be consistent and fast everywhere they go. It doesn't take them long to figure things out, and that car normally moves forward most of the time, for sure.
And I just want to throw in there, Tyler Courtney to me is probably the best wingless driver I have seen move over to the wing side of things. It's hard to describe, and it's just, but he has been amazing making the transition compared to some of the other guys who have tried it or are currently trying it. He has made it just seem effortless.
Yeah, he has done a hell of a job. And, you know, when he first started doing this, you know, he was always very approachable as well, like talking to him, you know, in the pit area or if he was in a t-shirt trailer, very, very polite young man. You know, he would even tell you, he goes, man, it looks easy, but man, there's times I'm just like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to hold on to this thing, you know, and it doesn't look like it. And he goes, man, I felt like I was about to go into the turn four pit area, you know, where all the trailers were, you know, full blast. I felt like I was just out of control at some of these places, you know, and, you know, he goes, I'm still learning. And he is still learning, and he's fun to watch. And if he's in the top five and the car's right, the 7BC is a legit chance of getting a podium, if not a win.
Rico after the Volusia race. I mean,
that was
a hell of a move. It really was. And
yeah,
going into turn one on that final lap and even turn two, I didn't think he had a chance to get him. And sure enough, we all know what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. He 100% every lap, yeah. You know, and
yep,
it worked.
Sure did.
It worked. So what do you have for number two?
Number two, I have Brent Marks.
Wow.
Yeah. Brent has, since he was on tour with the Outlaws, he has upped his time trial game pretty well. I don't want to say significantly, but he is much better at time trialing than he was when he was on tour. That was his biggest downfall when he ran full time with the Outlaws previously. He had to start so deep in the field, but his race package was always spot on. It seemed like he got hard charger every week when he was with the Outlaws. I think Brent's experience with running a full tour with the Outlaws for a few years and seeing a lot of tracks. That man has seen a lot of tracks over the past 5-6 years. I think he is going to make some noise. And when he gets to some tracks he's familiar with that where some of the guys with the high limit maybe have never seen, I think that's going to be a huge advantage. I see Brent right up there challenging for the championship before the season's over.
Wow.
Yeah, I know that's going to surprise some people. And
wow.
I figured it would. But experience counts for a lot in my book, especially when you're seeing some different tracks that normally aren't on a schedule that some of the guys, you know, have.
I would agree with that. I don't have Brent Marks in my top five,
right?
Just so you know.
And I didn't expect him to. I didn't.
And here's why. I think the 19 has had the luxury of picking and choosing where he wants to run, and that's
right.
That's totally fine.
And I agree. It kind of goes against what I just said 5 minutes ago, but I agree.
Yeah. So the 19 is another team that has an excellent foundation. I mean, you know, he has won some big races, and you know, a lot of people say, yeah, well, he's only won the big races in Pennsylvania. And I'm like, well, he won we witnessed him win two big ones at Eldora within 2 days.
Yeah.
And so there's that, you know, and then he's pretty good in Texas and I mean, lights out Pennsylvania. The thing with Brent Marks right now that worries me is it's been a while since he's been at a lot of these tracks. A lot of things have changed since he's been at these tracks. And is the full-time commitment going to affect the 19? I think that it's an awesome team. Brent can win races. There's no doubt in my mind he's going to pick up his fair share this year. I just don't see that, you know, aspect of him being on a full tour this season in the top five, because he's been pretty used to picking and choosing, taking a week off, keeping my guys fresh, and which is totally fine,
right?
But you know, I have him outside of my top five only because of that reason. The 19, you know, I've talked to Heath multiple times, you know, throughout the years, and you know, he's got the 19 car rolling pretty damn good, and you know, he's got a lot of experience at these tracks as well. So, outside the top five this year, but next year, look out.
Very fair, very fair. Can't argue with anything said there. It's a very good argument, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, I might get some heat for that, but I mean, like I said, I like Marks. I think he's got a killer team, and I'm just worried about him being on the road and getting back into that where he's been used to. I'm going to run here, I'm going to run there. Take a week off, two weeks off.
Very valid point. Very valid point. So that's why we have these discussions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. But my number two is. At two, I have Rico. And the reason why I have Rico at two is because, like we just talked about, he's never been on a tour before. But I think he has the one guy in his corner that has been on a tour, knows what it takes to keep him grounded, keep the car in tip-top shape, and that's Ricky Warner. And that car is going to be good. It's going to be fast. He's going to win his fair share of races. And Rico can definitely win races, and he can race with the best of them anywhere, anytime, any place. I just see Rico in the two spot right now because I just don't know if he's quite ready to battle for points with Sweet right now.
I agree there. And I think what gets lost a lot, you brought up Ricky Warner, and I know I did as well when I talked about Rico. What gets lost with Ricky Warner, not only is he arguably the best wrench right now, you can throw a couple guys in the hat and take your pick, but with Ricky Warner, and you can ask any driver that's ever driven with him as their crew chief, he is a great driving coach. And that goes a long, long way on a long, grueling season.
Yeah, his cars have been so good. I mean, you can go back to, you know, the Wintermeyer car back in Pennsylvania. I mean, when he was on that, you know, when he helped with Tyler Walker in the 35, I mean, you know, and you know, Tyler Walker was, you know, ultimate gasser, win or wreck and come back and get the car fixed and wreck it again. If, you know, you never know. Yeah. But his cars have just been bullet fast for many, many, many years. And it's a good card to have in your corner, in your hand, that to use and to lean on when you're on a full tour like this.
100% agreed.
So we're at the top.
Yeah. I think we both have the same guy. And I know we do. Not that we discussed this, but there's not a lot to say about Brad Sweet. In my opinion, best points racer I've ever seen. All the guys that have won championships, outlaw championships, have kind of done it a different way, in my opinion. Brad, with my own eyes, is the best points racer I've ever watched. And that's not going to change as long as he decides to keep racing. That's all I can say. And as a great team. That team's incredible.
Yeah, that team's a well-oiled machine, and he's a good driver too. You know, he's a very intelligent racer, you know, and he knows, you know, especially when you run the World of Outlaws, I mean you don't become, you know, a multi-champ for nothing, you know. And you know, you can't win all these races, you know, you just can't. And especially now with the cars being so equal, which makes it even more impressive that he's able to do what he's able to do. And you know, it's very impressive when you see Sweet show up the track, where he may not be there early in the race, but if his car is good, he's just kind of one of those guys that he's going to pick up a spot here, and maybe another lap he's going to pick up another spot, three more laps he's up two more spots, and then by the end of the night, next thing you know, he's on the podium,
right?
You know, it's
the most most impressive thing to me with Brad is he is the best. I mean, it's like he knows when that race starts that he has a third place car, let's just say, and he'll get third place out of it. And he does nothing, I hate the word to use, stupid, but he doesn't do anything dumb on the racetrack to prevent that from happening. It's just, whether you're a fan of his or not, it's just incredible to watch. It really is. And it was, not to keep going a different route with this, but it was kind of neat to see him at Volusia this past week, because he doesn't need to worry about points with the Outlaws. And you kind of saw, or at least I did, a more aggressive side to Brad, where he wasn't points racing. He was racing for money or to prove a point, however you want to look at that.
And I think there's a little bit of both in the, right. Both viewpoints on that, for sure.
Correct. And it was neat to see him drive aggressively. And, you know, he jumped the cushion once or twice, which normally, if you see that once in 10 races, you're lucky. But he jumped the cushion a couple times while he was there, and you could just see he was driving much more aggressive. And it was cool to watch. But best points racer, period.
Yeah, he's no joke when it comes to the points. And how the past few years, you know, Gravel and those guys kept it close is also very impressive as well, because, you know, Gravel, Macedo, Sweet last year were like neck and neck. And, you know, I could see with High Limit this year being close. I don't know if it's going to be as close as what it is with the World of Outlaws the past couple of years. but it's going to be interesting to see if any of these guys in the top five that we talked about can keep him in line and in striking distance, because, you know, Brad's had some nights where he's not the best, but his not the best is still inside the top 10. He's more like eighth or ninth.
Right.
So that's a big difference. You don't see too many DNFs out of that 49 car. And
it's going to depend, I think, if Brad runs every race. I don't know if that's been said anywhere. I don't know if with the promoting and things he has going on running the show, if maybe he'll take a night off here and there just for a break, because I'm sure it's going to get hectic for him.
Sure.
I know he has people in place, but if he runs every race, I don't think there's going to be much of a battle for the championship. Do I think second through fifth is going to be absolutely nuts and change quite a bit? Yes. If Brad takes a couple weeks off, then all bets are off. And he could still win the championship taking a few races off. That's a definite possibility in my mind as well.
Yeah, it's going to be, it will be very, very interesting to see how he runs, you know, at tracks that he hasn't seen, especially like coming up this, their next race is at Golden Isles. I don't think he's ever raced at Golden Isles. I don't think a lot of these drivers ever race at Golden Isles. And
I remember sprint cars being there, and I don't even know when. That's been a late model track now the last several years.
Right. And, you know, when you look at this early part of the schedule with, you know, the High Limit series after Golden Isles, they don't have anything until, if I'm not mistaken, until Riverside in, what, April?
Yes. It's a pretty big break. So, kind of like the All-Stars, where they'd run Florida and then they didn't start up again until around first week of April, I believe.
Right. So all in between after Golden Isles, they're, you know, it's a heavy World of Outlaw schedule back at Volusia into Texas for a handful of shows up until, you know, early part of April. So is Brad Sweet going to run these World of Outlaw races? Maybe, maybe not. I know some of the other High Limit guys are going to be running some of these races. So,
sure.
You know, we shall see, you know, and, you know, you mentioned, you know, two through five, I could definitely see being an absolute, you know,
war.
An absolute, you know, heavyweight title bout, you know, every race.
Yes.
And, you know, and as a fan, that's all you can expect, you know. And I wanted to touch on a couple drivers that, you know, we both didn't mention. And I was, when I saw the news on this, I was bummed out when I heard about James McFadden and the travel issues, because, you know, J-Mac and that Roth car, I thought last year were just starting to hit their stride. And, you know, I actually made an adjustment to my top five when that happened, because I don't think J-Mac is back yet, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't seen anything on that.
I haven't seen any press releases or anything or announcements that he's made it back to the States yet. I did not have J-Mac in my top five, though. I think he's going to win a lot of races, even if he would have made it back in time. Yes. I just don't have faith in the TRDs yet. That was kind of proven in Volusia. I'm not going to touch on that a whole lot, but the Roth.
I hear you.
Yeah, the Roth 83 had multiple engine issues, and Volusia's known for this. But they had a lot of trouble. I'll just leave it at that. And I was hoping TRD had some of their issues solved. From what I saw, I don't think it's all corrected yet.
Yeah. Buddy, I thought on Saturday looked really good, you know, actually was moving forward and had a pretty good run going until a lap car changed his line late. And that kind of threw his momentum off.
Right.
And then he kind of went back after that. But yeah, that TRD is another topic of conversation, but J-Mac is going to, I was bummed when,
I was
bummed out, you know, because I really like the Roth 83 car. It's been one of my favorite cars, you know, since I grew up in California, you know, watching the 83 car for many, many, many years. It's just, it's one of my favorite cars, and I think they're going to have an excellent year. J-Mac's going to win some races, and, you know, it's going to be interesting to see him and, you know, on a full tour, and, you know, and they like to race. Roth likes to race, so I wouldn't be surprised if you see him running the pretty heavy schedule to start the year after Golden Isles, for sure.
I would think so.
And another driver I wanted to touch on, too, that I think a lot of people were not expecting this was Tanner Thorson. Now, he just came out, you know, announced that he was going high limit. I believe he was one of the very last, maybe one of the second to last drivers to announce he was going to go high limit racing. And there was a lot of people like, okay, wow, see what happens, you know? And he came out with some big time speed, and he was fun to watch. And I really, really hope, that, you know, if Tanner Thorson can come out and keep it rolling and put together a couple of wins for a new team to come out, you know, because, you know, Tanner Thorson's, you know, mostly midget, non-wing. And he was in the 19 car, you know, last year for a while early, and kind of struggled a little bit when they ran the wing car. But if he could come out and this new team could have some success, man, that is huge. Because when you get a new team that joins, and it's not that they're new, but they're new to a traveling series, that builds confidence. And
always,
and you know, Tanner Thorson can win races.
Yes. It's going to be nice to see Thorson in a steady ride, so to speak. He's kind of been a fill-in driver or run this car for this big race type of thing. That's what he's done recently, last few years. And it's going to be nice to see him in a steady ride, so to speak. I think you're going to see the potential and talent he actually has, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Now, he was in Pennsylvania last year, I believe, in the 58, if I'm not mistaken.
He would come in. He would come in for some of the bigger time trial shows, and he ran really well. But again, that was one of those deals they would only run once in a while, and that's tough. It really is tough. But it'll be a big difference with a steady team behind him. So I'm excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, and that 58 car out there is. They don't have a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
that's
a good car. I mean, it's won outlaw races. It's good car.
Absolutely.
I just want to touch on an outlaw guy quick before we run out of time that I think surprised everybody. It was Landon Crawley. I know he didn't.
Yeah.
I know he didn't have the results when it came to a main time, but the kid was fast. He looked like he belonged out there. And he set quick time. And I don't care who you are, but when you're a 16-year-old kid that jumped up from 360s and you go to Volusia, who is, it's not for the faint of heart, against a field like they had, and you set quick time, that's incredible. So hats off to Landon Crawley. I can only see him getting better from here. And apparently Jason Sides knew what he was doing when he picked him to fill the seat.
Yeah, I mean, he was running pretty damn good in that heat race until that last lap. I thought he was going to send that car for a ride, but that was a hell of a save.
Well, that was an unbelievable save.
And he still got it in the dash. And he does not, when you see him and you talk to him, you don't think that he's a 16-year-old kid.
Not at all.
And, you know, and his dad was a hell of a racer too. Tim Crawley could run.
I was just going to
the best
add,
as well.
For some of the younger people out there that listen to us, look up his dad on YouTube or wherever you watch your sprint car racing. Look up Tim Crawley, and you'll understand where Landon gets his genes. Tim was a hell of a driver.
Yes, yes. And he, you know, he's going to be there keeping a close eye on Landon. And, you know, Jason Sides, I mean, God, he's been around the sport for so long. And he's, you know, he's won races. He's been on the tour. He knows what it takes.
Right.
And he's going to be really fun to watch. And I think the Rookie of the Year battle with Kofoid and Landon Crawley is going to be, it's going to be something.
It's going to be good. And it's going to, I think Balog's going to have his fair share of success and wouldn't be surprised if he's right in there. I mean, he had motor issues. I felt bad for him. I want to give a hats off to Kevin Newton's race team. What a great guy and operation they have. And that guy just loves racing. We need more owners like him. Gave Balog the car to keep his points up. And that was a classy move, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, and he had a hell of a heat race interview with the High Limit Series a few days later, and he was just, you could just tell, like, he's so passionate about the sport, and that's what the sport needs. Yes. Sport needs good guys
that
like that.
So nice to see. It was great to see how excited he was and how much that meant to him. That's nice to see. Nice to see some emotion once in a while.
Yeah, hell yeah. You know, these guys, they put their blood, sweat, and tears into these teams, and yeah, I mean, people are like, yeah, it's a heat race, whatever. Well, it's a lot more than that. It's a lot more than that. And so, yeah, you know, there's a lot of good people in this sport. And, you know, when you see a guy like Kevin Newton, you know, doing things like that for Bill Balog, and then having the emotion that he had after that heat race, is just, that's what you want to see in this sport.
Very, very cool. Very cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got, you know, with our points, I think we're sitting pretty good. I mean, time will tell and see what will happen. But, you know, I think we're onto something, you know, pretty good. So it'll be interesting to see what happens at the end of the year and who's right, who's wrong. Maybe we're both out to lunch. But, hey, you know, if you guys see us at the track, you know, hey, feel free to shoot us, you know, your top five or come up and talk to us. And or even on our socials, you know, let us know what you think, or are we crazy, or
we're always willing to talk sprint car racing. Don't be shy. If you know us, see us, whatever, introduce yourself, and we'll sit there and talk as long as you want to talk about it.
Yeah. You know, and actually, you know, with time kind of running low here, I just wanted to take the time here to thank, you know, Todd at Sealands Grove Ford. You know, I also wanted to thank, Justin Fiedler at Dirt Tracker, you know, mentioning us, on his daily show. And, you know, Justin does, you know, excellent work, you know, on the sprint car side of things, and even the, dirt late models. You know, we lean more towards the sprint cars over here at the Hammer Lane podcast, but there are some damn good late model drivers out there that that are good racers that I know, if they got a chance to step in a sprint car, they give them a little time, they could probably wheel one of these things as well.
To Justin, and he, with his Dirt Tracker show that he has, he puts out a ton of info in a very small amount of time. It's really impressive. He does a great job. And again, thank you for mentioning us. We appreciate that.
Yeah. So that's going to wrap up this edition of the Hammer Lane. We'll be back next week, and feel free to contact us on our socials at Facebook, Twitter, or X, as you want to call it. And I believe you set up Instagram. Is that right, Paul?
I did set up Instagram. My son's still teaching me the ins and outs of that, but I will have that up and rolling shortly. And next week, I'm sure we'll discuss the icebreaker. The icebreaker weekend is this weekend. Just want to throw that out there. Opens up at Lincoln. Yep. So racing has officially started in PA, which means every week we will have racing from now till October, I guess it is, in PA.
We'll see how that virtual flagman deal goes.
Yeah, exactly. I'm curious. Like I said, not a fan, but it is what it is, and it's not going to stop me from going.
Absolutely. Well, right on. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Paul. And we will see you guys and talk to you guys next week.
Take care.